Welcome, my precious friends and family. This is Anrita Melchizedek of the Melchizedek and Palladian Knight Network, and I'd like to welcome you to BBS Radio and to the program show, Ascension Keys to Self-Mastery. So I do apologize for getting on the show a little bit later. We're actually hoping to connect with a special guest today, Hantenian, who has spearheaded a beautiful book called 2012, Creating Your Own Shift. So I'm also honored to be one of 37 contributing chapter authors to this beautiful co-creation. And I was looking forward to chatting to Hunt and having a little bit more of his perspective, but somehow we haven't yet been able to get him onto the call. So I hope that we're still able to do that shortly. But in the interim, what I'm going to do is start with the introduction to the that I wrote for this beautiful co-creation. In fact, it was a channeling. I'm in two chapters, and one of them was a channeling by the elders on the rays, and on the cosmic rays in particular. And for me, this is something that holds a very special focus, working with the energy of the rays, feeling and integrating these heavenly frequencies as they come spiraling forth from the cosmic heart of Mother, Father, God. So I'm now going to read you a little bit of this that was in the book, and then I can tell you a little bit more about this beautiful book. So just get yourself comfortably relaxed again in your sacred space. Just breathing deep into the body, expanding the lower abdomen as you breathe in, contracting the lower abdomen as you breathe out. Just finding that space within your heart that takes you deep into your sacred space, deep into that energy within yourself. Grounding into the crystal heart of Mother Earth, to the cosmic heart of Mother, Father, God. Merging now into the energy of your I Am Presence. Connecting now to all the beings of light from on high that you personally acknowledge. So I'm going to read you an extract by the elders, ancient celestial beings, and high council members to the order of Melchizedek. Welcome, sweet ones. It gives us great pleasure to be with you, particularly in this now moment, as you anchor and activate the energy of the cosmic rays. For the cosmic
Hello, Anrita.
Rays. Hi, Hunt. You're able to join us. That's wonderful. So I was just actually starting with a little bit of the information I had presented by the elders for a couple of minutes, and then we will certainly look forward to chatting to you a little bit further. Well, the cosmic rays take you dimensionally through the higher dimensions into the cosmic heart and mind of Mother, Father, God. And at this now moment, the possibility exists for you to truly step into your multidimensional nature as this master being and recognize that you have been of service in many lifetimes. In addition, through the anchoring and activating of these cosmic rays, all life on this earth plane is experiencing a higher light quotient through the amplification of these energies. Further to this, individually, you are bringing through a deeper understanding of your star nature and the remembrance and recognition that you too are star-seeded ones. And so the councils of light through the Christed ETs are being gathered and connected in terms of coming together on this earth plane. And hence we see the rising of the earthy star nations of light. It is a time, sweet ones, of networking, of coming together collectively, sharing resources and skills and understandings to take this service work to another level from a planetary perspective. For in holding the light collectively, this is where you make the most change. Now, how are the cosmic rays in particular assisting in this planetary ascension, and how are they connected to 2012? Well, these six cosmic rays come through dimensionally from the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension, the seventh, the eighth, and the ninth, respectively. Each of these ray vibrations brings through stellar codes of light, sonic vibrations, qualities, colors, and the overlighting of core groups of light beings. And are not only assisting in activating the dormant DNA, but are building for you the I Am Avatar Blueprint. Many of you are stepping forward into this role in what we are calling this first wave of the I Am Avatar Blueprint Souls in embodiment on this earth plane. These are the souls that are choosing to shift energetically into this crystalline structure at this now moment, taking on this mantle of leadership through the merging with their I Am presence in order to assist others to move through these gateways of light into the higher dimensional frequencies of light. In terms of how this affects you individually, sweet ones, you may experience an acceleration of the ascension frequencies, parallel mergers, past life memories, or merging into this now to take you to another level of cosmic consciousness awareness. You will further be developing your standard master skills, so to speak, of enhanced telepathy, clairsentience, clairaudience, clairvoyance, it matters not, as well as finding the ability to easily transcend the dualities on this earth plane. In other words, being able to view through your master eyes and hold yourself steadfast in the light. Great. So that is just a small extract from this beautiful co-creation that has been spearheaded by Hunt. So Hunt, welcome. We're pleased that you were able to join us on the show today.
Thank you. I'm sorry I bursted in there, but your meditation really helped me after going through some recent technical chaos. Anyway, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's lovely to have you. And Hunt, you know, I feel quite honored and blessed to be one of 37 contributing chapter authors to this beautiful co-creation that you've manifested and brought about and brought us all together. And of course, it's such a beautiful way of sharing, because there is so much focus on 2012 that is quite a pivotal platform in the next level of our own cosmic consciousness awareness and where we're coming from collectively as a planet in moving into these higher frequencies of light. So I don't know, Hunt, if you may have an introduction that you'd like to take us through, and then we can move into discussing the book a little bit further.
Oh, sure. I'll just read a little bit from the introduction. You've already pretty well introduced it. It's 37 of the world's most authoritative sources on the subject. And they all have a different take on one end of things. One of the most respected, well-published contributors to the anthology states unequivocally that none of the dire situations that some analysts and other channeled messages purport to be likely or even unavoidable will come to pass. Actually, this was said by Suzanne Ward, the author of all the Matthew books. Very popular. They've been translated into 7 or 8 different languages, and she thinks nothing really negative is going to happen.
I actually love Suzanne Ward's teachings. That's a very interesting story that Matthew, his son, I don't know, I'm sure many of our listeners are familiar with the Matthew teachings, but that was Suzanne's son, Matthew, and I think he was about 17, 18, and he had a car accident and passed over. And it was about 15 years later that he came through to her as a channel, actually working from, I think it was, certainly from some of the, one of the lightships and working with the evolution of planet Earth. And she sits and asks him questions and then, and receives these beautiful answers. And of course, he still refers to her as mom, which is so beautiful. But those sharings are magnificent, and certainly for our readers that aren't familiar with Suzanne Ward and the teachings of Matthew, I would suggest to go and have a look at some of them.
Well, she's one of my favorite channelers. I discovered her years ago and found out when we were channeling that her information matched ours exactly. Since then, I found like one or two little fine points, but basically, we agree on almost everything. So she was one of the first people I invited to contribute to the book.
But how did it start, this idea? You came up with this idea in, it was just another wonderful flash of inspiration. what was the forward motion?
Well, it's been a preoccupation with me for many years. We got our own answers in channeling, and a lot of it was about 2012. A lot was about other things that resulted in four books then. So I said everything I had to say about 2012. I wanted to see what others had to say. I knew there were a lot of opinions out there, so I just went about gathering them up. People I knew and heard about, or people I actually dug up for specific aspects of the change.
Wonderful.
So there's lots of different kinds of opinions in here. Suzanne is on one end thinking that nothing will happen. Others describe some dire sounding situations that may be necessary for the world's renewal. And still others suggest that our space brothers will continue to protect us through most of the most dire sounding situations. But the one thing that all the authors will agree on is that 2000 will mark an initiation into a completely new consciousness and a divinely ordained beginning for our world. Some discuss how to prepare for it on the individual level. Others suggest needed institutional reforms. And topics range from the esoteric to the very down to earth. We've got experts, PhDs in every major profession, psychology, religion, education, economics, and the government. There's a man who used to be a military officer and a government official who wrote a book about dismantling the government and rebuilding it right 30 years ago. He has lots of interesting stories in here. Anyway, so we give practical advice on all kinds of levels, and then the authors, after present a condensed work of their main message. They'll give you information about how to get more information. But basically, this prophetic anthology explains what's happening in our world and what ascension's all about. It recommends ways to cooperate with the changes on personal and social levels. And the book ends with some inspirational visions of the future, mapping the way to a harmonious new world and much more humanitarian priorities.
Wonderful. Now, I see there's a few authors that I recognize here. I think most people know Dolores Cannon, for example.
Right.
And, you know, just in terms of the more well-known authors, Dranvalo Melchizedek, of course. Then, well, I mean, there's obviously quite a few. There's Sheldon Nadel, Suzanne Lai, I personally know myself.
Yes.
Quite a wonderful channel for the Arcturians. And there's Reverend Rhonda Smith. I think quite a few people may have heard of her. And there's obviously quite a few other names in here, but certainly some lovely big names in terms of bringing the
Steve Vrairman is one of my favorites. He's the one who's also Swami Beyond Ananda. For those who like the lighter side of things, he has some very interesting insights. He writes, as Stephen then just throws in a few little tidbits from his Swami persona.
I read one of his books many years ago and thought it was fabulous.
Everybody can relate to him. He's wonderful.
Exactly. I think it is really something that is just a little bit of cosmic humor across all boards, you know.
Right. So, yeah.
Now, what about your writings, Hunt? Have you got something that you could share with us? I think that would be wonderful for our listeners as well.
I'm just going to take a quick excerpt out of my chapter called 11:11, 12:21:12, and 13:13. Just jumping into the middle of it here. I say, are we in the 11th hour of this 3D game? The frequency of seeing those little 11:11 wake-up calls sure seems to hint that we are. Actually, I'd guess that we're more like in the last 11 seconds of the 11th hour. However, what's coming isn't nearly as important as what is right now. For many, the future, like all unknowns, throws them into the trap of fear. Sometimes it's better not to prophesize, but just look instead at the wondrous changes in the works, in the world, and in ourselves. Generally, people are getting more communicative and sensitive in exactly the way that many believe the ancient Mayans predicted. The presence of the 11:11 in our consciousness seems like an element, or at least a symbol, of this new communication. The long wave count, the Mayan calendar, ends December 21st, 2012. According to the Navy Astronomical Applications Department, the winter solstice on that day begins at exactly 11:11 a.m. I suppose it could be a coincidence, but it sure feels like another one of those increasingly frequent hints or reminders that we're all part of something much bigger than anything we know, or perhaps we fit into cycles we're just beginning to understand. Then I talk about some planetary cycles and some research about DNA. Here we go. Dr. Ryan's research into how emotional states affect our very DNA makes me wonder about the implications of some classic psychological advice, loosely translated as, the most important things to have are faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. I don't think I've ever heard better guidance on how to prepare for the new evolved world than that. It comes from 1 Corinthians 13:13. 11:11 stimulates our imagination and hope, just as these times test what we really choose to see and believe. 11:11, 13:13, and 12:21:12 may be nothing to some people, but to others, they're symbols on the doorway to a greater reality. To a few of those, the faith, hope, and love that those symbols inspire will be found to be reliable keys to that doorway to infinity. I've heard kids say, it's time to make a wish when they see 11:11. Out of the mouth of the babes. I don't know exactly what's going to happen at the end of the Mayan calendar any more than I know what's going to happen at 11:11 today. However, my wishes are ready.
Wonderful. That's very lovely. I think that number 11:11 comes up for all of us.
You know, it does all the time.
In the work that we do, the vibration of 11 and those master numbers 11, 22, 33, and so on, they're Christ consciousness numbers. So the vibration of 11 is a number of planetary Christ consciousness, and 22 mm-hmm. is solar Christ consciousness, and we start moving into the higher dimensions with the multiplication of those master numbers. But, you know, everything goes on at 11:11, and this whole year actually is also quite focused on 11:11. and in terms of the rays, for example, we're working very much with the 11th ray of illumined truth, and that throughout the essence of this year being 2011, and the energy of that is very much about connecting into the divine feminine, coming into a deeper level of divine love, and also having the insight and the understanding to be able to truly step into a deeper level of service in love. So, and then of course 12:12, you know, you're connecting into 12:12, and again, it's just sort of the same thing. It's also that shift into, you know, planetary Christ consciousness or unity consciousness. It's a huge one. And then, as you're saying, 21:12 is when a lot of us are just focusing on, you know, this galactic alignment of light and shifting at least into the higher cosmic consciousness awareness dimensionally, as is the entire planet. So I often notice for days on end that I'm looking at the clock and it's going 10:10 or 11:11,
yeah,
12:12, even 13:13, you know. I mean, 13, of course, I consider a number. My house number is 13 too, so that's something that also resonates with me. But numbers are amazing. They truly are.
Yep. And it just can't be coincidence. Every time we look at the clock, it's 11:11 or something. Something's going on.
Yeah. I think we're just getting another download, you know. It's sort of like another planetary cosmic download, you know, activating the dormant DNA to another level.
I think so.
It certainly feels like that. Because, I mean, why would we be so conscious of it or aware of it in that moment? I think all of us are sort of divinely guided in these streams of consciousness to bring our mindful awareness to particular events around us and within us, that is accelerating our levels of cosmic consciousness awareness. And that essence of time is a very big one too. And of course, in terms of you know, the Mayan calendar, we're also having incredible activities of light happening very soon. We're entering into the universal underworld that is occurring from March the 9th. And then that is in cycles of 13. There's 18 days of 13 cycles going through to, I think it's October the 28th, 2011 this year. So that's also just, you know, working in those cycles of 13 again. It's just amazing.
Exciting times.
So I'm going to chat a little bit more, I think, together just about some general understanding of 2012, but I would like to invite our listeners, if you may like to call in, we certainly would be delighted to hear from you, and I will give you that contact number in a moment. All right, so if you're local to the States and Canada, and you know what the number is, please call in. In the moment, I am just waiting to get that number from our wonderful angelic angel, John, who is assisting in posting our BBS radio show today. Great. Okay, Hunt. So let's talk about 2012 generally. I mean, I think you've had the opportunity to probably more than most of us to be able to have a look at some of the various opinions being offered. I know you were talking about one of them for you saying earlier, obviously the Christ of ETs or space brothers looking out for us. And I know that there were some people that actually suggested that we were, you know, many of us are actually going to be beamed up into spaceships.
Right.
So what do you think about
Well,
this?
there's lots of different opinions. One of the authors of the book, that didn't come out, but that was her opinion. She sees a split of 12 different realities coming down the line. That's why it's so hard to prophesy what's going to happen, because it depends on which way you go. And she says her reality, she sees ETs coming and taking away part of the population. I don't know. I thought that was a possibility a while back, but I'm more in the camp with Suzanne Ward, that the light has risen so much that some of these dire situations that make something like that necessary won't be necessary. I know the other Melchizedek, Yolandravalo, was talking years ago about how the different levels, beings are piling up around the earth watching what's going on. And all that enthusiasm is bound to add to our energy that is uplifting all of us, and they're giving lots of help. The main person I was referring to, the main author I was referring to, who's suggesting that the ETs are balancing the energies, helping the Earth balance the different things that have to happen so they don't manifest in populated areas or manifest at all. Was Mike Quincy. I love his work. You know, he's another one I just really admire.
I know. I've heard of his work as well. Absolutely. Yeah. Let me just give that number for listeners to call in if they'd like to. If you're local to the States or Canada, please call in on 530-327-7602 or 888-815-9756. Toll free is 885-815-9756. Wonderful. Well, I think personally, it's never been in my reality of, being picked up on a spaceship, but I wouldn't mind.
Right.
Just for the experience of it.
Actually, we did ask in channeling a while back when there seemed to be a lot of people disappearing here and there, and I asked in channeling what that was all about. And what he said was that there are people being picked up occasionally and just being offered the opportunities to be emissaries. Mm. So they go up somewhere and are trained, and then they will come back if they want to. The problem is this has been going on for a while, and mostly people don't want to come back. But when people disappear, that happens. So I'm not sure how large a scale that kind of thing is. But if someone sees people being picked up, it could be for any number of reasons, but they're all in our best interest, as far as I can tell. The old stories about bad ETs, I think that's pretty much ancient history. All the ones... Now the energy around the Earth is so bright that it's just the other ones can't be in harmony with it, so they just can't stay.
I think that was also very much related to the grays, sort of a lot of that older energy, and of course, experiments on humans and so on, which that 5% of those negative ETs, of course, then created, kind of this whole essence of fear. For many people to actually even look into, what it is to work with Christed ETs, like the Pleiadians or the Syrians or the Andromedans, all these incredible beings of light from on high. I have a lovely story actually about meeting someone many, many years ago at one of the WESAC festivals that was hosted then by the late Joshua David Stone. It was in Mount Shasta, Northern California. And there was actually a lady there, and I wish I could remember her name, but she regularly went up in spaceships, and she took people with her. And it was quite awesome, her sharing these incredible off-planet stories and journeys and, and how they traveled interdimensionally. It was very interesting, actually. And I was thinking, oh, I'd love to have her as my friend.
Right.
I'm only joking. But But let's take some calls and then we can hear from there. So we've got Donna Campbell from Sonoma. Hi, Donna.
Hey there. I didn't hear that last part. I was trying to listen to the headphones and talk to the guy on the phone. But this may have relevance to that. But I just wanted, in terms of the 12 options that may be available in terms of where each of us is determining or where we're going to end up, one of the things that, that I wanted to say was I think that a lot of may be determined by our own change of frequency. And that may be the determinant of going, for instance, to a ship, which I do sometimes. So it's not a permanent thing. I will go and we'll come back and visit them. So I don't know whether that's how I'm going to make a transition or the transition, but I think that's one of the possibilities. And many of us, I think, still, that if we're going to be doing that, then that must be, I mean, our physical body is going to be going doing that, which, of course, is definitely not the, you know, not necessarily the case. I don't know. And the other thing that I just wanted to say was years ago, when I first became aware of 1111, I guess it was in 1991, down in Florida when I first noticed it. And what I started doing then and still do to this day is whenever I see those numbers or numbers that I know mean something that are impacting me, I always just say thank you very much to whatever the source is, wherever the energy is coming from that is impacting me in that way. I don't try to understand. I just send a thank you back to whatever that source is. I just wanted to share that because it makes me feel good when I do that.
Wonderful.
That's something to share.
Me too. I'm the same way, incidentally. You know, I don't know what it means, but I see the 1111 and the other repeating numbers so often. That's all you can do. Say thank you. It's very reassuring to know that somebody is watching and dropping clues that something magical is happening.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think it really is just, as you're saying, that being grateful and being open to receive and just blessing and giving thanks and appreciation is certainly an incredible thing to be doing. And for me too, 2012 and 2013, and regardless of, you know, when we're truly making that shift, we are really increasing into these higher dimensional frequencies of cosmic consciousness awareness. And that's just a point in consciousness when we collectively moving up another octave. And, you know, how it will unfold is certainly also in part how we co-create that reality. So thank you very much, Donna. Appreciate you calling.
Thank you.
Thank you, and lots of love and blessings. Great. So we've got Jeff from... Thank you. Thank you, Donna. So we've got Jeff from Georgia. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi. Is that Jeff?
Yeah. Hey, I had a busy signal there for a second. Am I coming through?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Anrita. Hey, Hunt. How you doing?
Yes, we're good.
Good.
Good. As I was listening to what you were saying, you know, it's always been something I've paid attention to, all the different points of view everybody has on, well, everything. And I was just wondering if, you know, what your opinion would be on the thought that, you know, and I don't know how to say it, so I'll just say it, that maybe, you know, one thing, it just isn't going to be one thing. You know, I mean, how we really define our reality so often that, you know, maybe there'll be so many things that happen. You know, the people that believe that they're going to be carried up in ships will be carried up in ships. The people that believe in all these different things going on, that, you know, that they will experience those different realities.
Right.
Okay. Well, Hunt, do you want to answer first?
Yeah, I'd love to. Like I mentioned, that one author sees 12 different possibilities depending on people's trajectories. I only see two. And we went into channeling, and this has been spelled out to us for years now. I'm not saying there aren't alternatives to this, but the two that we see are people that for one reason or another, want to maintain the 3D existence. I mean, really, this is all pretty new. Anybody who's older than like 12 years old or so came into this world with a 3D contract, a contract to live in a 3D life for your life. And the universe isn't a contract breaker, so you have that option. You can always choose it. There's a lot of reasons that people would choose to stay in this duality existence. Now, on the other hand, the Earth is ascending. I mean, it sounds strange. You always expect things to keep going the way they're going, but at some point, some big things do happen. And we've been gearing up to this for a long time. The Earth is ascending to a higher vibration, and we have a choice to either stay with the Earth or stick with our 3D contract. Either way, it's a hard decision. You have to break your 3D contract if you're going to ascend with the Earth. On the other hand, if you're going to stick with your 3D contract, you have to break your connection with the Earth. So these are very tense times, and people are choosing. So it's not just a matter of what you expect to happen or think might happen, but it's a deep soul decision on what you want. A life without evil, you know, that's the choice. The Earth's ascending to a place beyond duality. So that means there'll still be a lot of things happening, but it's all cooperative. Now, that's not going to work for a lot of people who have a lot of drama in their lives and expect the same thing to keep coming. But there's a lot of others who are really, really ready to move on.
I probably couldn't have said it much better myself as well. You know, in terms of, in fact, you know, your own individual consciousness might have a particular idea of how you would like it to unfold. But the reality of how it will truly unfold will be in part of the collective consciousness gathering momentum, but also the knowing that this has been almost like preordained for eons upon eons of time, because it's not just the Earth and all her life ascending, it's actually the entire multi-universe is moving up octaves of consciousness. So it's the rippling effect, actually, of the Earth choosing to ascend and be part of that collective consciousness of light. And as Hand, you know, quite obviously pointed out, there are millions of people on this earth plane that are not ready to ascend yet and want to still carry out their dualities and, you know, have this playground of the school of learning and everything that goes with it. So in essence then, you know, becomes that reality of, you know, when you pass over, you might end up on a, you know, sort of like a sister dimension and, you know, another third 3D planet similar to Earth, but this Earth herself and all life that chooses, because we're still within that cosmic law of free will, is going to be moving into that frequency of love, wisdom. How that unfolds is not going to, you know, from one day to the next, I don't think we're going to suddenly all step into that frequency of divine love, but it's going to be the manifesto that we're moving towards. And the way that our entire consciousness shifts with that, and the way that we, in fact, collectively as a nation, move into that energy. And it might take another 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, even 100 years after that, where we are streamlined into that consciousness of thought, of unity consciousness, in terms of how we actually act and react and move forward into the light from an earthly three-dimensional physical embodiment experience. But that is part of our divine manifesto that is actually occurring for all life, should they so choose it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've had that experience a lot, that a lot of times I'll enter situations doing energy work, and they will just unfold in a way that was so much more beautiful and beyond what I what I thought I was going to bring into it, or the way that I thought I was going to do it. And I can tell that it, you know, it was written before I got there, and I just had to be there and kind of open myself up to it. As you were talking about that, it just crossed my mind that, do you think that as we get closer to the shift, all these differing perspectives will seem to align more to that one truth that's coming? It seems like that we You know, we operate from so many different perspectives and so many different sets of circumstances and viewpoints, and that perhaps as we get closer and the veils lift, that perhaps, you know, we'll all begin to see almost in unity that truth.
Well, it will be a vibrational frequency, absolutely, that will start to gather momentum and collectively experience a lot more. And we are really experiencing pockets of that first dimensional frequency. But what is still happening for the Earth and all her life is as those dimensional frequencies are coming in, they're moving into a lot of pockets of energy that need to be released on this Earth plane. So that's why we're seeing so much, you know, going on that are almost seem like a rising of these dualities and, you know, power issues and control issues and, you know, just a lot of the lower frequencies, and they're just coming up to be cleared. So we may see a little bit more of that for a while, and, you know, sort of Earth changes in terms of what we're going through geopathic stress and, you know, kind of like what's happening in terms of the grid itself. But I think at some point, you know, and I see that as our future reality, where it will actually certainly settle down a lot of that caring and will collectively be able to hold that frequency of divine love and unity consciousness and start to truly feel it and experience it a lot more. But what we're having now is just a lot more the energy kinetically of moving from the personality aspects of ourselves into the merging of our I Am presence. So within ourselves as well, there is that oscillation, emotional oscillation, but also in the integration, it's a huge clearing. So you'll have days, you know, very much like an amplification of the ascension symptoms, but with the two, it's actually to recognize that you're integrating the personality aspect of yourself into the energy of your higher light. And once that's done, we're going to collectively come into this divine I Am blueprint and be able to hold that focus of unity consciousness and physical vessels of light, holding this blueprint of light. And of course, your own key codes of light will start to activate, and you will create an effect change in your environment too.
Beautiful. Well, I am ready.
Bring it on. Wonderful. Thank you, Jeff. I'll just see if Hunt has anything else you might like to add before we finish our call.
Oh, I was just wondering if perhaps he was really asking, part of what he was asking is if we'll be able to see, with all these different possibilities out in front of us, if we'll be able to see what reality we're keying into more clearly as we get close to the shift. That's kind of what I heard him asking.
Okay.
And I think, yes, what occurs to me is that, yes, our reality will be more clear every day, but it won't be the same for everyone. You know, there's a lot of different directions we can go, and two major ones. So and the thing is, we won't ever see what anybody else's reality is. We'll see what's obvious to us, and one day we'll go after another, pretty much, and we won't really realize that things are splitting into different realities.
Well, you know, there's so many pathways into the light. So it just really doesn't matter how you get there. You know, it's sort of just more important to know that you're there.
Yeah.
In honoring your truth and your reality and coming from that heartfelt space and wanting and choosing to be of service and love and knowing that you actually are here in service and love as this ambassador and keeper of light. So, you know, through that, it doesn't really matter. The pathways forward are these golden doorways of light. And, you know, it's just choosing whatever reality through those pathways of light that bring us together collectively. And that is happening, definitely.
Definitely.
Great, Jeff.
Great, thank you. Yeah, just one more. I've always seen people, everybody's bringing their own little gifts, you know, and every little perspective and every little voice and every little bit is just, I don't know, it's just like an individual little light on this incredible Christmas tree down here, you know. So I can see what you're saying.
Hmm. And you're going to network a lot more. You're seeing that coming together. You know, I think light work is traditionally a lot of them, you know, sort of the light workers that have come through just as holding as key of life and living through a lot of challenges have worked quite in a way that's quite isolating and sometimes almost perceived as perceived separation or alienation. And of course, we are, many of us are alien. But what we're going to see now is just the, you know, the United Nations coming together on the earth plane. So there's going to be a lot more networking and connecting and to the unity good of light and with one another and meeting of soul family and friends of the light and just having that level of support. So I think that's also just something incredible and wonderful that it, we are experiencing much greater degree in this now.
Excellent. Well, thank you both very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks.
Lots of love and blessings. Great, Hans. So we're coming to the end of our show, so I don't know if you wanted to share, have any last sharings that, you'd like to share with the listeners. I know what would be quite important is possibly where we could purchase the book. I know it is up on Amazon, which is quite wonderful. So,
yeah. Yes, you can get it on Amazon, and I was just noticing that before our launch even hits in a week or so, it already made number one on in one of our categories. So you can get it on Amazon. You can also get it on our website, shiftawareness.com.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. And I wanted to very briefly mention last week in the show, there were a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about co-creation of networking resources and coming together. And that is unfolding beautifully. I had a wonderful angelic being step forward, Christopher Holden, who is assisting to put up this website that will bring together light workers with their products and their services and their blogs, along with an incredible marketing resource section. So if any of you wonderful light beings are out there and you know how to create YouTube videos and you know how to make, you know, create ebooks or set up PayPal accounts or produce MP3s or CDs, please do share that with us. And you can email all of that to Christopher at info@higherconsciousnessresources.com. So he can tell you a little bit more about that. And the website should be up in a couple of weeks. And Hunt has graciously agreed to assist to in creating an additional revenue for the website, which is going to be part of the Lightworkers Fund, by purchasing the books in the month of April from our website and being able to receive funds that we're also going to be giving to lightworkers that are needing it most in this time. So I will catch up with you in a couple of weeks with a little bit more information on that. And if you have any sharings for now, please do email it to Christopher. And next week, the show is going to be presented by Shalak Sylvia, my wonderful, precious friend in Canada. So Lara Anra has moved into another journey, and Charlotte will be taking over her alternate week. And we'll be on the show together doing a wonderful invocation and channeling, moving into the ninth wave and the universal underworld. So I invite you to join us next week, and for any further queries, you're welcome to email us at info@pleiadianlight.net or to view our website at pleiadianlight.net. So thank you very much, my precious friends. It's been wonderful to connect with you today. So from my heart and to yours and the cosmic heart of all creation, blessings in love. Thank you.